Welcome back to Through the Word, everyone. Chris Langham back with you again as we open the book of James. And what a book. James delivers powerful, practical wisdom on, well, on life, how to live it, how to get it right, how to get through the trials, love your neighbor, and live out your faith as a Christian. Often called the Proverbs of the New Testament, James is intensely practical, and it's at or near the top of the favorite Bible books list for many a Bible teacher. James puts the rubber to the road and challenges us to get real about our faith, our words, our actions, and the alignment of all three together. This is Following Jesus 101, and your professor is none other than James. So who is James? Well, he introduces himself in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So verse 1 is the to and from, the greeting at the beginning of a letter, because this is a letter. Like most of the New Testament, the book is a personal letter, which I so appreciate. The personal context helps me make it personal. James is a real guy. Now, James was a common name in the first century church, so scholars don't all agree on which James this is. Among the 12 apostles, there was James, the brother of John, and James the Lesser. Or, as some say, Big James and Little James. Big James was martyred in the early 40s AD, and most scholars believe this letter was written by another James entirely, the one we read much about later in Acts and whom Paul refers to in Galatians as the Lord's brother and as a pillar of the church in Jerusalem. Now, there's a little controversy over what it means that James was Jesus' brother. Catholic and Orthodox teachers generally believe that means he was a cousin, while Protestants generally believe that Joseph and Mary had children together after Jesus, and James is one of those. I will not settle that debate, but I will emphasize how James introduces himself, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That matters most. It is interesting to wonder what it was like for James to grow up with Jesus, but we don't have those stories. We do know that James was given quite a challenge in leading the Christian church in Jerusalem. First, for the level of authority that came with it. Jerusalem influenced all the church, as Paul brought the gospel far and wide and disciples scattered in all directions in the first century. Peter and James remained in Jerusalem, pillars of the mother church, the one that all the believers looked to, sort of a home base for this new faith. The second challenge in Jerusalem was persecution. Being Christian became increasingly difficult. A few Christians scattered for mission, many more scattered in desperation, and James said goodbye to many a dear friend in the faith. And that gives us some insight into James's heart, as he begins the letter and considers all the believers in so many directions that he wants it sent to. He calls them the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now, the 12 tribes is a reference to the Old Testament Jews. James is relating the struggle of early Christians to their Jewish predecessors. God's people have been through it before, and they will again. And as we read, I want to put us in their shoes. Do you know what it's like to move? The stress, the decisions, the unknowns. Now take that up a notch. Do you know what it's like to leave home for who knows where? A refugee, destination unknown. Everything stuck in uncertainty. I've been there. Hardest 8 months of my life. A trial of faith like no other. Now my story is a minor one, and many of you have stories and trials that make mine look easy. But we all have trials in this life. So many trials. And that's exactly where James starts his letter. No small talk, no polite niceties like we do at church when we pretend that everything's great. In verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's life, isn't it? Trials of many kinds. But hold on. What was that first part? Consider it pure joy. The trials? All the junk we go through? Consider that stuff pure joy? Yep, James pulls no punch. One of the hardest commands in the whole Bible, and James opens with it. Life is hard. life is trials. He doesn't say that's fun. He just says, consider it pure joy. If that challenges your sensibilities, I want to invite you to deepen your theology of suffering. This is a crucial theme in the Bible, from Job to Romans to Peter to right here. The relationship between trials and faith is core doctrine. Also, just at a practical level, if you wait to enjoy life until all your problems are gone, you might just miss the whole thing. So look closer. The first word is key. Consider. It's how you think about trials, how you categorize them mentally. Joy is not the same as pleasure or happiness. It's deeper, more substantial. And make it pure joy. Don't let bitterness and anger poison the water. But why joy in trials? Because you know something. Back in verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So James calls trials testing. Don't think algebra test. In the Bible, testing is a word for testing a metal. Gold ore is full of rocks and dirt until you put it through fire. Test it. Purify it. Trials test your faith to make it pure. But hold on. Some of my trials tear apart my faith. How does that help? Have you ever done any weightlifting? Did you know that lifting that weight actually breaks down your muscle? It's true. Your muscle is weaker until you rest. Eat some protein, get some rest, and your muscle builds back stronger. Faith is a muscle. Trials tear it down, but faith perseveres, builds back stronger. In verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Notice the word mature. That's the goal. God is trying to get you somewhere. Reminds me of my son. One day in his mid-teens, I walked in the kitchen to find him cleaning. And not just cleaning, but enjoying cleaning. Music in his ears, dancing around with a rag and spray cleaner. Son, what are you doing? Dad, I figured it out. I can make chores fun. Now, I had been telling him that since he was 5. Now, he figured it out, but that works for me. And you know what that day was? It was maturity. He finally grew up. I think God sees his kids that way sometimes. Childlike faith does not mean childish faith. Grow up. See your life through mature eyes. Trials will come whether you like it or not. You can't change the trials, but you can change whether you like it or not. You don't choose the trial, but you do choose your attitude. So James is really more like following Jesus 201. Time to grow up. For me, reading James is sort of like that moment when you realize that adulting is not all fun and freedom. It will be way harder than I thought, but it's good. James will challenge us to maturity in many things, enduring trials and temptation, wisdom with humility, faith with integrity, anger without sin, submission to God, handling riches and poverty, and perhaps the hardest of all, taming your tongue. James will get practical and personal about our faith, our words, and our deeds. I see James as God's coming-of-age book for his kids. You parents can relate to this one. When you look at your kids, what are your goals for them? Success? Victory? Popularity? It all sounds great in theory, but then I look at the kids who got those things without any real trials, and it's not good. I want my kids to have depth of character, steadfast faith, wisdom that's humble, love that perseveres. I want them to grow in the image of God. I want maturity. And here in James, that's what God wants for his kids. He wants us mature and complete, not lacking anything. But hold on. All this joy in trial stuff sounds great, but when I'm going through it, I need to know what to do. What you need is wisdom. So in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, as in don't know what to do, you should ask God. That means pray. James says that God isn't holding back or finding fault. He's not saying, I won't help you because you did this. He gives generously to all. He wants to help, and he answers. How does he give you that wisdom you need? Quite often, it's through his word. Don't be surprised if he answers you right here in this book. So read ahead now and get ready for a journey through the book of James.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.